Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 3,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 100 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
This is your main man, RJ, from the Ringside Rant, heard only on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. So go over and subscribe across all your major platforms, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, to hear every great interview I have every Monday on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Go over and follow the show's page on Twitter at @_RingsideRant. Follow the network's page at BizWrestleNet. And, as always, embrace the vision.
If you like podcasts and you are listening to a backbreaker media, then you should listen to me, Chris Parrish,
and myself, Manoyan,
and the Sounds of Struggle. Because we are literally the most entertaining duo you'll ever come across in Western Canadian wrestling, baby.
We talk about things like wrestling.
And other sports we like.
Like wrestling.
But we won't talk about other sports that we don't like because it's not that kind of podcast.
Like wrestling.
I mean, we like hockey.
And wrestling.
And we like football.
And wrestling.
And we also like to drink beer.
While wrestling.
Well, not while wrestling, but while watching wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to get into a conversation with Maniac and Chris Parrish, then you need to tune into the Sounds of Struggle live on Backbreaker Media.
Every Thursday.
That's when we hope to draw, but sometimes Mike Malawaini doesn't do his job right.
Or we're too drunk to forget.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah.
He can bleep out the swear word because we weren't supposed to do that.
Oh,
but
I'll try not to swear. Ah, I can't do it.
Yeah. Let's face it. The two of us, we're real.
And spectacular.
And we're a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
We're also struggle-licious.
That we are.
That was kind of a cute. Supposed to be a struggle-licious.
Oh, sorry, I'm trying.
Yeah. So, if you don't want to listen to us, then you're stupid because we're entertaining. And if you want to listen to us, then come listen to us on Backbreaker Media.
Yeah.
Later,
reset.
Later, bitches.
The following advertisement is sponsored by Beercade YEG.
Hello. You are listening to a commercial for the podcast Over the Top Rope,
the flagship podcast of the Wind Column Sports Network,
as well as a proud member of Backbreaker Media.
Again, this podcast is sponsored by Beercade YEG.
You can find us pretty well anywhere that podcasts are played, including on the iTunes,
Podbean,
the Google Play,
SoundCloud,
and on windcolumnsports.ca for all your previews,
reviews,
and breaking news from the world of professional wrestling. Tune in every Friday on Backbreaker Media, a member of Win Column Sports. Hello friends, this is Spencer Love, the host of Conversations with Love, the exclusive one-on-one interview series sweeping the nation, or at the very least, the great province of Alberta, Canada. Tune in weekly to Backbreaker Media, a proud member of the Wind Column Sports Network, as I host a member of the independent wrestling community here in Alberta, or wherever the hell I feel like interviewing somebody from. You can only find it on Backbreaker Media, a proud member of the Wind Column Sports Network, and proudly sponsored by Beercade YEG.
We'll be right back.
Okie dokie, folks. This is Kyle Shaw, your friendly neighborhood ring announcer from Real Canadian Wrestling. And joining me at this time is Dirty Incorporated's Sydney Steele. Sydney, how are you today?
The one and only Sydney Steele. I'm doing great, man.
So you had a big weekend here. Last weekend you wrestled in Calgary, and you got a Commonwealth title match. That didn't seem to go your way. How's things with you and Dirty Inc. going?
You know what? Despite the outcome of that match, things with Dirty Inc. are going great. You know, the match didn't go the way I'd hoped. And sometimes when you try some of the tactics that that Dirty Inc. and I have been known for, they tend to come back and bite you, and this just happened to be one of those times.
Fair enough, fair enough. So if anyone doesn't know, there was a six-man tag team match in Calgary last weekend. It was Sydney Steele and his tag team partners, Cody Chimera and Cameron Stevens, and they faced off against Dirty Dean Richter, or no, his name's Dean Real Talk Richter.
Dean, I don't know where I got Real Talk Richter. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, I don't know where Dirty Dean Richter came from. That's maybe if he ever decides to, you know, stop fighting him and start joining him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So is Dean Richter, was Sweet Daddy Soul in that match? No, no. Zach
Dean
Mercury.
Richter, Zach Mercury and D. Dwight Davis,
right. Originally it was supposed to be Steven Styles, but he was pulled out because he had to take care of some commissioner duties.
Yeah, new commissioner of RCW, Steven Styles.
You guys can't feel too good that he reinstated the overdose.
You know, it's been months and months and months of trying to get that move banned. And night one, what does Steven Styles do? He walks in and he overturns the ban. And now, all of a sudden, you know, RCW once again promoting overdoses.
Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is. But I guess is Dirty Mike going to be okay?
Dirty Mike was taken to the hospital. He was examined. You know, his neck wasn't feeling great, but I think he'll be back on his feet sooner rather than later.
Right on. That's a hell of a story. So, Sydney, you are billed as being from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Is that where you originally came from?
Yeah, I'm from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Got my start wrestling there, 12 years ago now, I guess? Got my start wrestling with Wildman Gary Williams. Broke in with a class out there and never really looked back.
Right on. So when you wrestle in Nova Scotia, is it like very regionalized, or do you just do like the entire main Maritimes?
You know, I haven't wrestled in the Maritimes in a number of years. I've been out here in Alberta now almost 10 years, and in that time, I've really only made one trip back specifically to wrestle. Usually, when I do go back and visit, usually it's vacation time, giving my body a little bit of a break. But, you know, when I was out there, it was pretty much anywhere I could wrestle, I would wrestle.
Fair enough. Yeah, like, you are one of the more traveled guys around here, right? Like, didn't you just finish some dates in BC?
Yeah, I guess March 1st and 2nd, we were out in BC. I try to wrestle, Angelica and I try to wrestle anywhere, absolutely anywhere that we can, you know. Anywhere throughout Western Canada, and, you know, looking to make some more bigger jumps here coming in the next few months.
Right on. Have you guys been over to Winnipeg?
We actually have not made it over to Winnipeg. We're in the process of putting some stuff together to head out there. There's been a couple of opportunities to go out. Unfortunately, they've never really aligned with times that we've been available to make the trip.
Right on. Okay, so, and you mentioned that you were traveling with Angelica. Mm-hmm. You and Angelica are a bit of an item.
Yeah.
Yeah, so oftentimes you guys are like, I know in CWC you guys were like a package deal, but like over in RCW you're kind of like kept separated, but you always travel together and stuff.
Oh yeah, you know, RCW, we're each doing our own thing. We're each looking for that singles glory, as they say. And, you know, maybe taking some different paths to get there, but I think we've both been very successful in RCW thus far.
Yeah, for sure. Can you just give us a little talk about what it's like to be in a relationship with somebody that's also a wrestler, as opposed to, like, there's lots of guys that are in RCW who are in relationships, but their wives are nowhere near the business. Can you speak on that for a minute or two?
Yeah, you know, I think it's great. I really do think it's awesome. I think it's great to, you know, to have a traveling partner, someone to travel with all the time, and somebody who gets it, right? A lot of times, you know, the guys who do have a significant other that's not involved in the business, it's hard to explain to them. It's hard to really make them understand, really make them see, right? But I think it's great.
Well, of course you do. I mean, I don't think you would sit here and be like, it's terrible, awful. I'm reconsidering my life choices all the time.
That'd be a dangerous thing to say.
Yeah, no, I've seen Angelica, and I'm pretty sure she could take you. Boy. So you guys are based out of Lethbridge now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Right on. And so do you just work for RCW and PPW, or is there other promotions in Alberta that you've wrestled for as well?
Well, you know, up until this past fall, Angelica and I both were working pretty regularly for Monster Pro Wrestling before making the jump over to RCW. We've done some work for Canadian Wrestling's Elite when they've come through the Alberta leg of their tours. But for the most part, it's been over the last few months in Alberta specifically, it's been pure power in RCW.
Right on. And like you have an office position in Pure Power, yes, no?
Yep.
I mean, so I don't know how personal you're willing to get about that sort of stuff. If you're
I'll get as personal as you'd like. I handle a lot of the day-to-day operations of PPW when it comes to, you know, booking venues and talent and setting up shows. And, you know, 2018, we had a rather big expansion. We went from, I mean, basically PPW had been running one show a month with the odd spot show here and there for 7 years. And 2018, we kind of exploded and started running a lot of stuff out of town, and 2019, it's only going to be more. You know, our March schedule right now, we've got 4 events scheduled in 4 different towns, and
oh, wow.
I mean, really, if you think about it, 2 years ago, that would have been 4 months worth of events for PPW, right?
And are those all like in southern Alberta?
Yeah, so we are sticking around the southern Alberta area, perhaps into, you know, a little bit of eastern Saskatchewan and western British Columbia. But really, we're looking to stay south of Calgary, right? There's enough wrestling going on in Calgary, but we don't have a whole lot of interest in heading up in that direction, right? So there's all of these towns south of Calgary that have a really strong history of Stampede wrestling, and, you know, that were great wrestling towns 20, 25 years ago, that not only have they not had wrestling in 25 years, a lot of these towns haven't had entertainment in years, right?
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we're really making an effort to bring Pure Power Wrestling to a lot of new markets and really, you know, kind of put southern Alberta on the map a little bit and, you know, make people take notice of southern Alberta and make people kind of realize that the Alberta wrestling scene is more than, you know, Calgary, Red Deer, and Edmonton.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely, like,
there's a lot of promotions in Edmonton right now, and there's even a couple in Calgary.
Yep.
But then you got RCW that's kind of just like all over the whole province, right?
Yeah.
Is it like a you don't want to step on the toes of RCW, so that's why you guys don't come up to Calgary, or?
I mean, that's a big part of it. We've got a great working relationship with RCW. I mean, you know, why would I want to try and promote events in Calgary basically against RCW when I've got the opportunity to, you know, to work with Steve and to work with RCW and help, you know, build something there? But also, it is just a matter of, you know, there's three companies running regularly right now in Calgary. Two of them are running bi-weekly in Calgary. And so it's just that, you know, at the end of the day, I don't have any interest in trying to, you know, siphon business off of them. I don't have any interest in going to Calgary and, you know, trying to take over the city or anything like that. I can help RCW and I can help Steven try and build that and try and have the opportunity to perform in front of the Calgary fans while, you know, selfishly not having the stress that comes along with running an event.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, it seems that every time I've been in the locker room and there's also somebody there that promotes, like if it was you or Dylan or Steven or like Vid Vane went back when I first started, if any time they were in a different locker room where they were just working, it just seemed like there was such a load off of them. Like they weren't stressing about how to put together the show and stuff. They just kind of showed up and concentrated on wrestling and had a good time.
You know, it really is a big load off to be able to just, you know, get to the venue, wrestle your match and be done. I mean, you know, I try to help out in whatever ways I can, right? Sometimes it's hard not to, you know, being a promoter and as well and being there, it's hard not to overstep your bounds a little bit, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not my show. It's not my show to run. And I'm just going to take the opportunity to, you know, make the small portion that I've got as good as possible and, you know, make sure that Steven knows that, you know, I am there for anything that, anything he needs help with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely one of those things, like, you seem to be one of the more relied upon people, you know. I mean, we just, at the last show, we just used, like, three or four guys from PPW on our show.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's great. I'm really happy to see these guys getting out there and getting booked. I mean, God knows Kyle Sebastian doesn't need any help getting booked. That guy, you know, in my opinion, one of, if not the best wrestlers in all of Alberta. But, you know, to have our boy Ken Stevens be able to make the trip and be able to have one of his first matches outside of Pure Power Wrestling. You know, he's a guy that, he's only been around since June. He's only been, you know, in the business since June. Yeah, started training with us. And, you know, it's really gratifying to see him get the opportunity now to go and work with RCW. And, you know, it sounds like RCW wants him to keep coming back, so that's great.
Oh, good. That's, yeah, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. You know, he was helpful. Like, I don't know if anybody saw it, but you did a write-up there a couple weeks ago just about being a promoter in the locker room and maybe seeing some people that are, you know, maybe not pulling their weight as rookies, not helping with the ring and stuff. And I can definitely say that Kenny was definitely helping on the ring. Like, yeah. 100%. And when I was down in the PPW show, when I was down there, I noticed that everybody was lending a hand, and that ring crew, like, they got the job taken care of in a very, very small amount of time.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we've been able to start running as much as we've been able to. And it's one of the reasons that really we had so much success in 2018 is we have such a good, tight, reliable crew of guys, right? So everyone is there for every role, no matter what it is, right? No matter what needs to be done, there's people that can be relied upon to get it done.
Yeah, there was guys in the opening match and guys in the main event that were helping on that ring.
Yeah.
And it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, and, you know, it's nice for me as a promoter to know that, you know, if I have other things on the business side of stuff that needs to be taken care of, that I've got a crew that I can rely on to, you know, to take care of ring crew and making sure that, you know, the venue is reset at the end of the night and making sure that, you know, we're leaving buildings as good or better than we found them. And, you know, I really can't give the guys enough credit. It's such a relief for me to know that, you know, that's something I don't have to worry about, right? It's something that I know is going to get done. It doesn't have to be micromanaged. And it gives me the freedom to get other things done.
Yeah. It's just another thing to take stress off your plate.
Exactly.
Right? Like, and that's going to be considered helpful to any promoter, I would assume. It seems like a really, really, like, stressful job to promote wrestling shows.
You know, it really can be.
I mean, creatively fulfilling, nonetheless. But,
yeah.
Stressful, I'm sure.
By this point, it's gotten a lot easier in Lethbridge, you know. You walk in the building the day of, quite confident that crowds are going to be good and the matches are going to be good and everything's, you know, barring little tech hiccups, everything's going to go off without a hitch. But, you know, running the out-of-town shows, you know, those are the ones where it really does get stressful because a lot of these towns, like I said, this is the first time they've had wrestling in 25 years, right?
Yeah.
So you don't know if 200 people are showing up. You don't know if 20 people are showing up, right?
Yeah. I've been to RCW shows with crowds of both those numbers.
And, you know, that's kind of the reality of independent wrestling, especially kind of on this level, and especially in Alberta, where there's such a strong history of Stampede wrestling and of just professional wrestling in general, but that was so long ago, right? So a lot of these towns, they don't even know pro wrestling still exists. There's people that you speak with that don't even know that, you know, after Stampede shut its doors, that professional wrestling is still even a thing. And so it's trying to reach those people, and it's trying to remind them that, you know, the professional wrestling that they grew up, you know, watching with their parents or their grandparents, or, you know, that still exists, and that it's something that they can bring their kids to now.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll be honest, like, even when we've had crowds of, like, you know, 20 or less, or, you know, not many more, like, sometimes those shows are a lot of fun, too. I mean, sure, maybe you're not leaving with a big, like a large stack of bills in your envelope or anything, but the actual, like, while the show is going on, usually you're still having fun.
You know what? I don't think I can recall a wrestling show I've been on in a long time where I haven't had some level of fun, right? Whether the crowd is huge or the crowd is small, you know, you're still getting the opportunity to step in the ring and do what it is that you love doing. And as long as the shows are solid, as long as the matches are good and everyone in the ring looks like they belong in the ring and everybody wrestles like they belong in the ring, then these towns will build up. It's a matter of keeping at it, right? It's a matter of not getting discouraged when you walk into a town and 50 people show up to your first event, 30 people show up to your first event. It just means that you've got to promote harder, and you've got to go out there and give those 30 people an event that's going to get them talking, so that next time you come to town, each and every one of them is going to bring three friends. And suddenly, yeah, you know, you've got 90 people coming out to events. The first time we ran Tabor, this was probably 2 years ago now. You know, we had, I think it was 75 people in the crowd, you know, which for the first time in a town the size of Tabor, that's not a bad number. But, you know, now, 2 years later, you know, we're getting crowds that rival what we get in Lethbridge, you know, so we're getting crowds in, you know, a town of, I think, 8,000 people that are rivaling the crowds that we're getting in a city of 100,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Right. And, you know, all of the credit in the world for that goes to, you know, the guys on the PPW card, because, you know, I would challenge anyone to look up and down that PPW card and, you know, name me somebody who doesn't work like they belong in a wrestling ring, doesn't look like they belong in a wrestling ring, doesn't, you know, isn't worthy of calling themselves a wrestler. And I think that's a big part of the reason that we've really started to roll over the last year, year and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, no, when I was down there, I thought everybody was killer. Yeah. Who are some of your top guys there?
Here in Lethbridge, you know, obviously Kyle Sebastian. You know, he's a guy you can put in the ring with anyone on the planet, from the best wrestler to the worst wrestler, and, you know, he's never gonna have the guy's never gonna have a bad match.
Yeah, right. He's been around for a long time.
He has. He's actually, if I'm not mistaken, he's been around longer than I have. But, you know, we've got Jumpin' Josh. He's a young, up-and-coming kid. He's a little on the small side, right? But, you know, he's very athletic. He's really got a lot of heart, and he's really come a long way in even in the last year. I mean, what his output in the ring has come such a long way. And, you know, he's, I think, finally starting to get a little bit of the attention that he deserves. You know, there's everywhere that we've brought him wants him back, right? Because, you know, he comes in, he's hardworking, he's respectful, and, you know, and he puts on good matches, which helps a lot, right? But then, I mean, we've got the big sexy beast, you know, 369 pounds. He's legitimately one of the strongest human beings I've ever met. For a while there, he was wrestling as CNWA's strongest man, and I don't think that was a gimmick, you know? I used to work out with the guy, and I mean, he is scary strong. He's a big, strong, former football player and deceptively athletic. A 400-pound cartwheel that's, you know, about as agile as, you know, a 130-pound guy pulling off a cartwheel.
Yeah, that's Bradley Graham. He's actually one half of the RCW Tag Team Champions right now.
He is, yeah. But then, you know, I think, you know, especially down here in Lethbridge, some of these guys that don't get the recognition they deserve, like Travis Copeland and Cowboy Bryn Watts, like, these are two guys who, you know, they had been around, they took some time off, they came back, and, you know, these are guys that are off the charts good. I mean, I'm talking, you know, Travis Copeland is, the guy's half deaf, right?
Oh, really?
But he gets in the ring, he calls his matches out there, everything looks good. Everything he does, there's nothing he does that doesn't look solid. You know, I think, Oh, it was about a year or so ago where he and the cowboy went up to the ring and they worked 30 minutes straight, called the whole thing out there, right? And that's, I mean, Travis Coakland and Bryn Watts are, the two of them are insanely good. You know, Bryn is the type of guy who, you know, if he had an interest in getting out there and getting more bookings, I think that, you know, he'd quickly be one of those guys that hit the map as, you know, one of the top performers in Alberta. I mean, back in November, we were in Vulcan, and I needed to eat up some time, and him and Jumpin' Josh, without batting an eye, went out, and the two of them wrestled for 30 plus minutes, like,
absolutely. Just an impromptu, like, right off the fly.
You know, I knew the two of them were going to be wrestling that day. What I didn't know was how fast the first half of the show was going to go, right? So I told everybody that, you know, I wanted to be hitting intermission at about 8 o'clock, and Jumpin' Josh and the Cowboy were up just prior to the intermission. They were the last match before intermission. And, you know, 7:30 rolls around, and they were just about to head out for their match. So, you know, I pulled Cowboy aside and I said, you don't need to wrestle 30 minutes. If you put in 15, you know, I'll be perfectly happy. We can make up the other 15 somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
But no, Cowboy went out and I had said I wanted an 8 o'clock intermission, and he and Josh went out and absolutely tore it down. No choreography bullshit. They just went out and wrestled for 30 minutes. They had the crowd in the palm of their hand. It was unbelievable.
Right on. Is he one of your trainees?
Cowboy actually got his start training with the Stormbringer. Wrestled for Power Zone for a number of years. And at the time Power Zone Wrestling here in Lethbridge closed down, Cowboy took a number of years off. And he's now been back for just about 2 years now. He's been back with us here in PPW, and he's really become one of the backbones of Pure Power.
Oh, okay. So are you in charge of the Pure Power's training grounds, or is that Kyle Sebastian or Stormbringer?
That's a combination of myself and Kyle. The two of us really handle the training duties of everybody, right?
Right on.
But, you know, so far, you know, out of Lethbridge, we've had, oh, I'd say 4 or 5 kind of Lethbridge original guys. And, you know, I'm really happy to see that over the last couple of years that just how good they've gotten and how much they've really gotten it and how much they've really started to understand wrestling.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Cowboy Bryn doesn't have more ambition to go elsewhere. I mean, I remember when we brought in Ricky Reyes.
Yep.
From Lucha Underground, and he did a seminar, and I know that Cowboy Bryn was in the seminar in Calgary.
Yeah, you know, Cowboy is he's an entrepreneur. He's a business owner here in Lethbridge. He's a very, very busy guy, and yeah, I think, you know, in another time, in another life, maybe he'd be looking to, you know, do what Angelica and myself are doing and take bookings every weekend and, you know, travel Western Canada and perform in front of, you know, as many people as possible. But, you know, he's got kids, he owns a business, and I think he's happy and fulfilled doing what we're doing here in Pure Power and helping to, like I said, to build Pure Power Wrestling and really put Southern Alberta on the map.
I hear you. So with you and Angelica, is your guys' goal to, like, get to the WWE or to TNA or one of those other big name promotions down the line?
You know, obviously it would be wrong of me to speak for her, but my ultimate goal at the end of the day, I think, would be, you know, to get picked up by an Impact Wrestling or an MLW or something along those lines, perhaps not WWE, but something along those lines that would, you know, allow me the opportunity to make my living as a professional wrestler, but also the freedom to continue doing what I'm doing now, promoting wrestling and helping to train guys and really helping to build that kind of Southern Alberta scene, right? So, I mean, I would love, and I'm hoping, you know, before too long, to have the opportunity to get a look by an Impact or an MLW. But, you know, at the end of the day, I would want it to be somewhere that would allow me to keep pushing PPW forward.
I hear you. With Impact being in Canada now, does that seem to increase the chances?
You know, I like to think it does. And I like to think that, you know, the two guys running the show, Scott D'Amore and Don Callis, the fact that they have so many ties to Canadian wrestling and so many ties to, you know, the guys in Alberta that came before you and me, right? The guys, the Massive Damages and the Steve Rivers and, you know, the Wildman Gary Williams, and the fact that they have so many ties to those folks, I would really hope would mean that, you know, they'd be willing to take these guys' word for the fact that, you know, there's a lot of talent in Southern Alberta or in Canada, sorry, as a whole. There's a lot of talent here, and I think it's waiting to be discovered. I mean, obviously, you know, they're a company. They're trying to be an international company. They're trying to produce international events. And, you know, visas are a headache when you're trying to get into the States and all that kind of stuff, right? But yeah. I would really, really hope that those guys would turn some attention to Canada and really take a step back and look at the fact that there is an unbelievable amount of talent right now, not just in Alberta and Western Canada, but in the whole country.
For sure. Like, I can even think of, like, a bunch of guys out in BC. Then you got everybody over in Toronto. And then there's this the maritime scene. Like, there's, like, the cream of the crop in all those little situations, you know?
You know, truth be told, if you were to take your pick, and you were to pick across Canada your top 15, your top 20 guys from across the country that you wanted to build a promotion off of, there is absolutely no reason that you couldn't get the attention of the entire world. Right? There's no reason you couldn't have a successful promotion with national television getting a lot of buzz and getting a lot of attention based just off of Canadian talent and nothing else. You know, I would say, you know, Pure Power Wrestling is proof of that. I mean, we've been running for 8 years. We don't bring in outside names, you know. I can count on one hand the number of times, you know, we've used WWE legends or Impact wrestlers or anything like that. And we're packing buildings, rivaling or outdrawing, in a lot of cases, what the people in Edmonton and Calgary are putting into buildings. You know what I mean? When we're not using these outside names, we're not bringing in these outside talent, we're doing it on the backs of talented Canadian homegrown wrestlers.
That makes 100% sense, too. And, like, it's like you say, it all goes into the team effort of helping to build the show, not just like when you show up at the building, but like I'm sure you got a whole crew of guys in Lethbridge that are out putting posters out and, like, you know, hitting the pavement and getting the word out, you know?
You know, we get as much help as our guys can give, and it's great. And, you know, I think a big part of it is, you know, we've held ourselves to a certain high standard when it comes to who we're putting in the ring in front of people, right? We're not putting guys in the ring that, you know, don't look like they know what a gym is, right? We're not putting guys in the ring that have two left feet and, you know, can't run ropes. We're making sure that the guys we put in the ring are, they're professionals, right? At the end of the day, it's professional wrestling. And, you know, I really do think, and in my travels in the last couple of years, I've seen that, I think that the barrier to entry to professional wrestling and to being able to, you know, perform in front of a crowd on these shows has just gotten way too low. You know what I mean? I think if every company stepped it up and put their foot down and just said, you know, no, we're not just going to take whoever we can get, then, you know, the Alberta scene would be better for it. The scene across Canada would be better for it.
Yeah, I hear you, for sure. You guys actually do have a TV deal as well in PPW, do you not?
Yeah, so we are working with Shaw Spotlight here in Lethbridge, hoping to expand that deal both east and west in the next couple of months. And, you know, it's been probably about a year and a half now that we've been airing our shows on Shaw. And it's finally really started to get some traction to the point where, you know, I have people stopping me at the gym. I have people stopping me on the street. People who have never been to a PPW show saying, you know, they've seen it on TV, say, you know, complimenting the show, complimenting the guys, that, you know, it's very gratifying to see that people are watching the show that we're putting out. And it's not necessarily people that are coming to every event, right? Like I said, it's people that I don't recognize as ever coming to a PPW show, but they're watching it on television, right? So it's finally really starting to reach people and really starting to become a strong promotional tool.
I hear you. And then after it airs on Shaw Spotlight there in Lethbridge, it does go up on the Backbreaker Media Network, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, no?
So it goes up on the Backbreaker Media Network, and we've also started doing something in recent weeks. Again, just in hopes of getting some eyeballs out there where, you know, Power Slam now premieres every Saturday at noon on both Facebook and YouTube. Available free to watch, with the hope that in the next few months we might have a little bit of a change in the type of content that we're delivering to Backbreaker, but that these Power Slam shows, they can be seen by as many people as humanly possible. You know, in a perfect world, I want tens of thousands of eyeballs on Power Slam each and every week.
Of course, yeah. The more people that see it, the better.
Exactly, and, you know, it doesn't... so many people are so concerned with their market, right? And how to monetize... How are we going to monetize this video content? When, you know, the truth is that Pure Power Wrestling, Power Slam, for whatever reason, has a strangely big viewership in India. I don't know what it is, I don't know why it is, but the stats that I pull off of YouTube tell me that we've got a big viewership in India. Now,
really?
Yeah. Now, obviously, people from India aren't coming to a Pure Power Wrestling show in Alberta anytime soon. I would invite them. If you're listening in India right now and you want to fly over and you can show me your flight receipt, I will comp your ticket to PPW. But, you know, the truth is these people, they're not going to come to a show. But you know what? They might buy a Jumpin' Josh t-shirt, right? They might decide they want to support the Big Sexy Beast or Kyle Sebastian in some other way. Which, at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's fulfilling my goal of getting getting these guys seen, getting them out there. And like I said, and I sound like a broken record, I keep repeating myself, but really showing that, you know, the Alberta scene is not just Calgary and North. There's a hell of a lot of high quality stuff going on in the South.
Yeah, for sure. I know that when CWE went through Medicine Hat, they got a pretty decent crowd out for that show too.
CWE has built a really strong following in Medicine Hat. I've been on the last three or four of their events on their tours through there, and you know they're putting, you know, 200, 225 in the building every single time, and it's, you know, you can't give anybody but Danny Duggan credit for that. You know, it's the fact that he's been working his ass off to promote these shows and to promote these tours. And now I think, you know, it's been, a year and a half, 2 years that they've been really doing these expanded multi-province national tours. And it looks like it's, you know, finally starting to really pay off for him. And, you know, I couldn't be happier for the guy.
Yeah. So, like, if he comes through Lethbridge, that doesn't bother you as a promoter that another company is coming into your town?
No, you know, he came through Lethbridge back in November. Angelica, Kyle Sebastian, myself, as well as Bulldog McBain, all worked on that show. And, you know, the way I look at it is if he wants to book some of our younger guys to get them experience with, you know, with really an internationally traveled touring group, and, you know, he's not coming here to, you know, to, like I said, in Calgary, not coming here to take over the city, right? I have no issue with it. I mean, last time he was in town, he had Brutus Beefcake with him. And, you know, we managed to sell tickets to our show at that event to people who were only there because Brutus Beefcake was there, right? They hadn't been to a wrestling show in years and years and years. They just happened to see Brutus Beefcake on a poster, and it was a novelty to go to a wrestling show, but they liked what they saw so much that, you know, we managed to sell tickets and make probably 10 or 15 new fans out of it, right?
Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, that's a win-win.
Yeah, I like that mindset, like the glasses half full type that ideal on it, you know?
You know, I'm not worried about Pure Power Wrestling standing in Southern Alberta. You know, we're only growing, and I don't think, you know, short of anything major and catastrophic, I don't think that's going to change.
Cool beans. Well, I mean, yeah, we don't want your company to go under or anything. So speaking of, like, Brutus the Barber Beefcake,
yeah.
You mentioned that you have brought in a couple of WWE legends to Pure Power Wrestling. Do you have any stories about working with anyone maybe that you used to admire as a child?
The two people we brought in here to Pure Power Wrestling, we've actually brought them in twice each, are Dan the Beast Severn and Gangrel. Unfortunately, neither time we had Gangrel come in, I had the opportunity to work with him, but I did have the opportunity to work with Dan Severn, and I mean, that's a guy that I cannot say enough good things about. You know, a class act all the way, and a guy who, you know, is a true pro and comes in with no ego and comes in just, you know, looking to work and willing to work. There's so many times where you deal with, you know, a lot of these guys who are ex-WWE stars or WCW stars, or, you know, I guess you'd call them legends, who come in just for a payday, right? They have no interest in putting in hard work. They have no interest in really helping to grow the companies that they're coming to. But, I mean, Dan Severn and Gangrel, those are two guys that are the exact opposite of that. They come in ready and willing to work and come in ready and willing to do anything that's asked for them, asked of them. And it's absolutely incredible.
Do they run seminars and stuff for your fellas?
Severn ran a seminar while he was down. We've actually never asked Gangrel to run a seminar. You know, our guys have had some opportunities to presented to them to attend seminars with different guys. RCW has brought in and some individuals that, you know, happened to be out in BC when we were out there. But PPW hasn't gotten into running seminars very often.
Oh, okay.
In my mind, who we've had the most success with hasn't been the WWE legends, but it's been the Stampede legends. You know, yeah. we've had Leo Burke come down a number of times. We've had the Cuban Assassin come in, and you know, these are guys that people are so excited to see. These guys were megastars, right, when Stampede was running regularly. And, you know, there has not been one WWE star or, you know, one gimmick match or anything that we have put on that has gotten more immediate buzz out of people than hearing that the Cuban Assassin was coming to Lethbridge.
Oh, wow. So it's a very nostalgic, like, homegrown feel there. I did notice, like, when I was there, it seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed to me like RCW is, like, a little rowdier, you know? Like, I'm not trying to insult anyone in either fan base, but it just seems like the RCW fan base can be just, like, a little more drunkards and, like, kind of more trailer park, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, I think part of that might come from, you know, the crowds being based in Calgary and Edmonton, right? Yeah. These are crowds that they've seen it all, right, in pro wrestling, realistically. And so it's a lot of times I think they're there to be entertained by themselves as much as they're there to be entertained by the wrestling.
Oh, I can. Right? Yeah, I can just see that. Like,
but you know, they're very fun crowds to wrestle in front of. They're a little bit less forgiving, I find, than in a lot of places, and a lot more willing to voice their opinion on matches, right? And I think, you know, it used to be said way back in the day that, you know, if you could get over and you could make them believe in Calgary, then you could get over and you can make them believe anywhere in the world. And I think that's just as true today as it's ever been. Like, you're dealing with a crowd that, like I said, has seen everything there is to see in wrestling. So it takes that much more to impress them.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, we've been doing some smaller shows, even in RCW and stuff. And we did the one that was in, what was that last show?
Bruderheim.
Bruderheim, yeah. And there's just like a lot of kids there, and
yep.
You know, they just enjoyed everything.
Yes.
There was no like, you know, nobody was going, oh, this is minus 5 stars, you know, like they didn't care. They were just like, oh, we're here to have a good time and see some cool characters and some good old fashioned wrestling, and that's what we gave them, and everybody went home happy.
You know, and that's what you get with these small towns that they haven't had wrestling in years, and they don't get a lot of other options for entertainment in town. Is, you know, it's people that are going wanting to enjoy the show, right? Rather than people who, in a lot of cases, are going looking to pick the show apart.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That makes a lot of sense. Like, just those smaller little shows, though. I have a soft spot in my heart for those shows. I really enjoy them. Like, we did one in... Were you at the show in Oyen?
I was not at a wrestling show in Oyen, as far as I know.
Oh, okay. Well, we did a wrestling, an RCW show in Oyen last year. We literally got to the building, and there was literally a dirt floor because the building was like some sort of industrial barn or something. And we just set the ring up right there on the dirt floor and had matches, and there was like the grandstands were tractored into the building, and there was tractors laying around. I think even Epic Eddie Rude and Heavy Metal used a tractor in their Last Man Standing match. It was such a good time. But I mean, there was maybe like 50, 60 people in the crowd. So not a huge crowd, but just like the whole fun point of like, this is just so like podunk, but
yep. You know, I've had some of my best times in wrestling in these small, tiny little towns where, you know, where nobody is, you know what I mean? You know, I had the opportunity to go to Weyburn, Saskatchewan a few years ago and, you know, had a great time wrestling and got to see my first demolition derby at the same day. So that was pretty neat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I saw plenty of those out in Victoria because they have the Western Speedway and my dad would take me down. They used to do demolition derby once a week almost.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. I wasn't a huge fan of it, but like once in a while they even do like figure eights and stuff. That got pretty nuts. Yeah. But, wrestling and racing kind of goes hand in hand together too. Have you considered running any like racetrack shows or anything like during the summer, or like has PPW done any like football games or anything like that?
We've done a few kind of outdoor fairs and festivals and that sort of thing, and that's sort of a circuit that we're working on trying to break into, especially throughout southern Alberta. There's a lot of festivals, a lot of rodeos, a lot of those types of events where, you know, pro wrestling fits in perfectly. You know,
yeah.
Pro wrestling fits in with carnivals and rodeos and fairs and all that kind of stuff.
MexiFest is kind of coming to mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a RCW show at this Mexican folk festival in Calgary. It was called MexiFest. There was a couple of like legitimate luchadors there, and then there was a bunch of RCW guys and stuff. And from all accounts, it was a good old time.
Yeah,
yeah. They must have like smaller sort of like country music festivals and stuff like that going on down there in the summertime all the time, eh?
They have all sorts of that through southern Alberta. It seems like, you know, if you wanted to go to a festival or, you know, a rodeo or a county fair, it seems like there's one every single weekend that you could go to, right? So it's definitely a big market that we're looking hard at getting involved in, because it's more opportunity for exposure to fans who wouldn't see us, and exposure to fans who, like I said, they don't even know pro wrestling is still a thing, right? They don't know that outside of, you know, Raw on Monday nights, that pro wrestling even exists anymore. And so that's a stigma that we're working really hard down here to break, is just letting people know that pro wrestling is alive and well, and, you know, and that they can come see it and they can come be fans of it and they can come have a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's always interesting to try and just rack your brain for like different outside the box ways to get people knowing about your shows and stuff, eh? Like different sponsorship deals you can have and different sort of like events you can attend, or even like, I mean, you could even send guys to off to Comic-Con and stuff. I know PWA does that. Like there's all kinds of different, like you could have wrestlers show up and be in the parade and have a wrestling float or something like that. That's all kinds of like cool stuff like that.
You know, there's a lot to be said for traditional television, you know, digital video the access to online is great. And, you know, it's great, especially if you can bring it right to your fans. But, you know, as much as, you know, I have heard some of the boys in the past, you know, shit on the idea of, you know, oh, PPW is on public access. Well, the fact is that we're on public access and people are watching. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know, how many people are watching your matches, you know?
Yeah, I mean, even RCW, it's like we're running like almost 6 shows a month now. Like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking like the next progression is for us to at some point have some sort of a actual television outlet, you know, like, you know, to air our shows on.
Either television or a strong free digital video platform.
Yeah.
Something where, you know, like I said, people from all over the globe can watch what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I think that traditional TV can be very important. It's still in a lot of people's houses, right?
Yeah.
But if you're looking to hit a wider audience, an audience that maybe doesn't have television, right? Maybe they've cut the cord. Then, you know, if a traditional TV deal isn't an option, the next best thing is free digital.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and crap on Backbreaker Media because, like...
No, not at all.
The, this podcast airs on Backbreaker Media Network, and I love what they're doing over there, and I do think that the service is worth $6 a month for the video.
You know, I actually fired up Backbreaker, the Pivot Share service earlier today, and just the sheer amount of content on there was unbelievable, and, you know, that's got to be props to Mike Malloway. I mean... You know, I think a lot of people, you know, whether you agree with some of his points of view or not, I think, you know, a lot of people don't give him the credit that he deserves for just being willing to put in that work. Because I know, I mean, the guy went from literally a super fan in the front row to... You know, helping try and push the Alberta wrestling scene out to the world. I can think of, you know, a dozen territories that would kill to have a fan that dedicated that, you know, he gets into the business and starts, you know, pushing out the type and the amount of content that Mike is doing.
Yeah, no, all the props in the world to Mike. Like, I have mad respect for everything that he does, for not just for RCW, but for MPW, for CWC, for PW. You know, there is other federations that you do gain access to on the Backbreaker Pivot Share. Like, Bar Wrestling is on there.
Yep.
And, I mean...
You know, I think Mike has really taken that... to that approach of, you know, the rising tide raises all boats, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't have to be, you know, Alberta wrestling. You don't have to be someone that whose show Mike can come to every month in order to benefit from what Backbreaker Media offers as a service. If you're somebody who's looking to get your content out there, Mike's got a home for it, right?
Yeah.
And all that does is add value to the people making use of Backbreaker. And that's where, you know, us trying to get our Power Slam show out to as many eyeballs as humanly possible comes in. You know, so if you think about it, Pure Power Wrestling, we've got, you know, conservatively 20 people on our crew between wrestlers and announcers and support staff and all that kind of and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So if you think about how wide their local network is, to have every one of them, you know, share out an episode of Power Slam TV, not only is that going to get, you know, it's online, not only can that hit anywhere, but that's also going to expand a huge reach within the Southern Alberta area. Right, so you think if, you know, if RCW has a roster that sometimes feels like it's 10,000 guys.
There's definitely been some shows where it's like, where sometimes it seems like we got five new guys on every month, you know?
You know, if everyone on that crew of guys, and you know what? I am sometimes guilty of not doing it myself, but if everyone on that crew of guys made a point of even just one time sharing an RCW event or sharing an RCW video, you know, think about how much larger then RCW's reach can get and how much easier it becomes to now go from wrestling in front of 70 people in Bruderheim to wrestling in front of 300 people in Bruderheim.
I don't think we would have fit 300 people into that hall, but that would have been awesome, for sure. Yeah, no, I get where you're coming from, though. Like, if it's one of those situations, I think, where I don't know if RCW is just some people feel like the machine is so big that it'll just do the work itself, but it's really not the case, and then a lot of that burden just comes down on Steven and Vic, right?
Yeah, I think part of it is, you know, people just not giving a shit, right? The, you know, some of the guys knowing, I'm going to show up, I'm going to get paid, you know, why the hell do I care how many people show up, right? But, you know, if you've only got so many bumps you can take, so you have to ask yourself, if you're not making good money, if you're not doing this for a living, or you're not at least doing it in front of large crowds, why the hell are you taking so many bumps? You know, why are you crippling yourself when you're 75 to take crazy bumps in front of 30 people when all it takes is a click or, you know, a minute and a half to record a promo or, you know, one share of an event, and you can hopefully, you know, get more bodies into these buildings. I honestly think a lot of it is guys know they're getting paid. Guys know that, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's whatever PO it is, and they don't give a shit, right? So, in my opinion, you either got to make guys give a shit or you got to send them home.
I guess so, yeah. I hear you. Like, and I mean, it. You can tell that sometimes that, like, it does bother some people. Like, I mean, I don't mean to bring it back, but even to your thing, it was clear that you were a little upset with some people that just showed up and didn't help on ring. Like, you know, and understandably so. Like, because we did it at PPW, and it was like, this was done in like 15 minutes, but like, then we get to RCW, and you do have a couple of guys that just, for whatever reason, they just don't feel like they have the need to work on that sort of stuff, you know? And I've even been guilty of it before in the past, like when I was doing Archer reports and stuff, like trying to find the time, and like, I would always make a point to just at least help carry out one or two like boards or beams or something. But, you know, like,
yeah, it goes back to, you know, the barrier to entry into pro wrestling has gotten so damn low, right? So we are just allowing anybody to walk in who's got 6 weeks of training and be on a show, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter if, you know, they've learned the business. It doesn't matter if they've learned the etiquette. It doesn't matter if, you know, they've learned their place in the business. You got 6 weeks of training. You can do a couple of flashy moves. Cool, you're on a show. So, you know, there's nobody, there's very few people, I'll say, that are instilling that etiquette in people. The number of times, you know, I've showed up to different shows and, you know, brand new guys who, you know, I know for a fact are brand new, you know, not walking up and introducing themselves with a handshake. And, you know, as much as that's, you know, partially kind of old time wrestling bullshit, part of it is, you know, it really lets you see who's been taught and who's had an interest in learning the etiquette side of wrestling, the brotherhood side of wrestling. So, you know, a lot of times at the end of the night, as much as it annoys me, it doesn't surprise me when, you know, guys are sitting on their ass and, you know, aren't helping to crew the ring and, you know, to get stuff done and taken care of in a timely fashion. Because, I mean, it either hasn't been instilled in them, or they haven't had to face any consequences for not doing it and not learning it. And if you think, you know, if every single person on the crew of a wrestling show did one thing, how fast all that stuff would be
done. That's all you'd have to do is one thing.
You know, because like, I sure as hell don't, you know, I got a 2-hour drive ahead of me, and I know the guys coming from Edmonton when we're in Calgary have a 3-hour drive ahead of them. I sure as hell don't want to be leaving the building at midnight.
No. No, of course not. And then, like, half the guys, you're going to go out and party for a little while before that. So, like, I mean, I don't like to leave the building at midnight, because if we're going to the party, then, like, by the time we get to the party, they're, like, closing down, you know? There's no, they're not serving food anymore, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think a big thing that's been missing from a lot of wrestling locker rooms is somebody who's not worried about making friends and is willing to give people shit when shit needs to be given.
Yeah. And I mean, somebody that is also somebody that when people are given shit by them, it's a point that where, oh, I'm doing something wrong, and I need to pull up my socks, or I'm going to get shit by this person who, when they give me shit, it means something, you know? I mean, because, like, Vic will give guys shit all day at RCW, but I think there's just some people that, like, tune it out, you know?
I think people are so numb to it, you know, coming from Vic at this point, that they don't even hear it anymore, right? Yeah. Or you know, they kind of laugh because the old guy's pissed off about something, right?
Yeah.
Well, and you know, if the old guy's pissed off because, you know, nobody's lifting a damn finger, then he's got every right to be pissed off, right?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll be honest, Vic's expectations are like everybody knows how to do it, when in fact the reality of the situation is not everybody knows exactly how to put up the ring, and sometimes people are gonna assume things and make mistakes.
For the love of God, that complicated fucking RCW jigsaw ring. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to set up, but all it takes is, you know, one or two guys that are always on that roster knowing how it goes up and, you know, being the guys that are put in charge of it, right? So, you know, Vic's going to oversee the trailer. He's going to oversee all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's not just RCW. It's every wrestling promotion having that one or two guys that you know you can delegate it to and you know are going to get on guys when they're not getting work done.
Yeah, like a ring manager.
Like a ring manager, you know, I can't give enough credit to our boy Cyanide down here in Lethbridge as really being the guy who is taking that on and taking that over and being the guy who oversees the ring crew and makes sure it gets done and it gets done properly and quickly.
Yeah, it's definitely I definitely think that Vic is our ring manager.
Yep.
For sure. I know that our ring, like you say, it's a bit of a jigsaw puzzle. Like, they used to take twice as long to put up because there was no numbers on the boards. And then one day I went through and I grabbed a Sharpie and I put a number on every single one of those boards. And then I put a number pointing to the board that it was supposed to, like, go beside. So now what used to take, like, 50, like, legit, there was a time where we'd bring all the boards in and it would take us an hour to figure out how to put it on. And now it takes like 10 minutes.
So I would just assume and that, you know, all the parts of a wrestling ring should be interchangeable and should be able to go anywhere.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you should be, but I think it's just the way that everything has to get bolted down in the middle.
Yeah.
So the bolt holes are in certain way and are arranged in a certain way so that the bricks underneath can hold the boards down properly and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a complicated thing, but, like, I mean, for those of you that have never seen a wrestling ring dismantled, like, lots of people think, oh, it's a trampoline. No, it's steel beams with wood on top, and then, like, the RCW pads are, like, a centimeter thin, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
and
trust
then,
me,
like,
I know.
Right in the middle there, it's, like, almost flattened out now. I know that – I think they might have even had to, like, they rearranged the mats or something last time. At least I hope they did, because we were getting a lot of complaints from guys that the mats were basically just flat. You might as well just bump on the wood.
You know, and it's – I mean, to be fair, it's not the worst ring I've bumped in. It's actually one of the nicer ones. But I mean, yeah, it's a jigsaw puzzle.
It's an independent wrestling ring.
It's an independent wrestling ring. That's the best way to put it. Thankfully, it's professionally built, and Vic has maintained the parts well. But
yep,
that's just it. It's an independent wrestling ring.
Yeah, and Vic's very conscious about it. Like, even last show in Bruderheim, there was one of the boards and it was shot, and he was like, "Okay, well, that's why we have a spare." So we threw the shit board out, and we put on the spare, put a new number on it, so that we know which one it is for next time. And then, you know, it's there. So, like, he's always got a spare board just in case. Like, but I mean, it's not, like, I've seen other rings, too, that are, like, I was at the CWE show, and half the ring had, like, this nice, really quality pad on it, and then the other half was, like, shitty foam, and it was like, oh, okay, so you guys just kind of, like, bump on this side of the ring then, or, like, what's going on here? And they were like, yeah, pretty much, you know. And then there was a ring out in Victoria when I first started, Victoria City Wrestling. And then that ring was used for some elite championship Canadian wrestling that was taking place on the island. And then I remember after two shows there, my friend Vid Vane, who was the promoter for VCW, he ended up wrestling on that ECCW show. And literally, like, when we took the ring down, two of the boards were, like, cracked in half because he slammed the guy so hard. It was crazy. Like, you just looked under the ring and there was two broken boards, like, leaned right in, and it was like, it wasn't like RCW where it's like plank boards.
Yeah,
it was like 2x4s.
Yeah,
like 2x6s or whatever all the way across the ring. Yeah, so you get some funky looking rings and stuff, but, like, I mean, I don't even know. I don't think I've ever seen, like, a dismantled WWE ring. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell you if it's more akin to, you know, what kind of boards they use or what, but...
You know, like I said, at the very least, the RCW ring is professionally built and well-maintained. And, you know, that's more than you can say for a lot of companies, right? A lot of companies are using whatever they can get their hands on, and... It shows a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with you there. So, like, I just want to bring it back to PowerSlam TV again. So when you're, like, are you involved in the video production side of that at all? Like, do you do any of the editing or?
I am involved in every facet of Pure Power Wrestling. So I edit the TV shows. I voice the majority of the TV shows, which hopefully will be changing.
Like you do the commentary?
Yep, which hopefully will be changing very soon. With any luck, Bulldog McBain will be taking over and he'll be doing it live.
Nice.
We did a run here at the Power Rumble event, so we're just going to kind of go over it and make sure that the audio quality is what we want it to be to go out there on TV. But, you know, the fact is, and you can ask Angelica, you can ask Kyle Sebastian, I micromanage a lot of Pure Power Wrestling. I'm a perfectionist in a lot of Pure Power Wrestling, you know, because it's my name going on it, right?
Yeah.
So I do, you know, I've had offers from Mark Ponerolo and from Mike Malloway to do the video editing and to do all the voicing and commentary and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, to be honest, I would rather do it myself just so that I know it's done the way I want it done.
Yeah, you have that control, and it's not you firing off your raw footage and then yes. hoping what comes back is good.
Yes, and, you know, I have absolute faith in Mike and Mark that what came back would be good, but at least at the end of the day, if the output on PowerSlam is absolute garbage, it's nobody's fault but mine, right?
Yeah, so you get all the credit, but you also take all the blame.
Yes.
I gotcha. So when you're voicing the shows and stuff, do you use, like, a different name as to, like, hide the fact that you're one of the wrestlers, or?
I voice the show as Kevin Farrell, and I think so far we've been able to get away with it, but it becomes a little hard when Sydney Steele's cutting a promo on the show. But, yeah, you know, I've voiced the shows as Kevin Farrell. And with any luck, like I said, coming up in the next few weeks, that'll change and Bulldog McBain will have taken it over entirely. But, you know, I don't think... It's hard to tell if anybody has caught on, but I think anybody who has... is understanding that we're operating on an independent level, right? We're not operating on a WWE level. And that's the other thing is if I'm, you know, it's sort of like in the 90s when Vince McMahon was doing the commentary. If I am calling the shows, also being the guy that books the shows and books the angles, yeah. I know what stories and what I want to get over and to get across, right?
Yeah.
So it's very easy for me to commentate the shows and to really push and really promote what I want to push and promote and what facets of the story that I want to get over.
Yeah, like little details don't go over your head and get missed and stuff.
Yes.
I hear you. So is there, like, is it challenging to time the shows out? Like, how long of a show is Power Slam?
So on Shaw, we have a 30-minute window to run. Typically, we are no shorter than about 27 and a half and no longer than about 29 minutes. Now, with the beauty of the internet, we've obviously had a number of matches that have gone longer than that time period. And that's the beauty of the internet, is I can air a 29-minute show on Shaw that doesn't air the full match, but turn around and, you know, 18 hours later, it's live on Facebook and YouTube with no time restraints, right? With the entirety of the match being aired.
So do you do, like, if you're airing an episode of Power Slam is a 30-minute episode, do you go at the end of the show, like, if you want to see the full match, go to the such and such website?
Yeah, so the TV show will end with a crawl across the bottom and I guess myself as the commentator, explaining that, you know, if you want to see the full match, you want to see the finish, you can do so at purepowerwrestling.ca. And actually, on the main page of purepowerwrestling.ca, the most recent weekly episode is always available right on the homepage.
Oh, okay. When is the Power Rumble going to be up there?
I expect that the Power Rumble should be up this Saturday.
Oh, right on. I'd like to check that out for sure.
Yeah.
Everybody else should check it out, too. I heard it was really good.
You know what? It was a really good match. For whatever reason, we do gimmick matches. We had a cage match back in June, but for whatever reason, the Power Rumble is the gimmick match that everybody gets the most excited about. I've got my theories as to why, but it is an exciting match. There's no other match where you get 10 guys in the ring at one time going at it, right?
Yeah, and I'll be honest, the WWE Royal Rumble is a very, it's basically the same rules as that. And, that's my favorite WWE show, just because you get all, the surprise entrances, and, it just keeps moving the whole time. There's not a lot of lollygagging or breaks in action.
No, there's always something happening. Always something.
Yeah, it doesn't get boring, you know? Yeah, I highly encourage everybody to check that show out, for sure. So, Kevin, Sydney,
we've been
going for about an hour and 23 minutes.
Yeah.
So I will give you an opportunity just to plug your upcoming show, your next Pure Power Wrestling show.
Yeah. You know, you're able to catch me next in Fort McLeod on March 15th, in Bow Island on March 16th. And then Pure Power Wrestling is back in Tabor March 29th and back in Lethbridge March 30th.
Right on, right on. And do you have any RCW shows coming up that you're going to be a part of?
I'm going to be a part of the Calgary event there on the 22nd. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to miss Lethbridge's event, or Edmonton's event, sorry, on the 30th, as I'll be down here in Lethbridge.
Right on, right on. Okay. Is the RCW Old Commonwealth Championship going to be defended anytime soon in PPW?
Yeah. You know what? I took that belt that we were able to steal from Zach Mercury. I took that and I gave it a fitting end. It's been melted down. It's now sitting as a paperweight on my desk. And I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon.
Oh, well, at least the mystery of what happened to the RCW Commonwealth Championship has been solved.
It is in a much, much better place than around the waist of Zach Mercury.
I'll be honest, though, the new belt looks pretty flashy, too.
The new belt, it's very nice. It is fit for an AWA champion.
Are you still looking to claim the Commonwealth Championship, or have you decided to move on after your bad luck with Merck last week?
You know, I'm looking to claim any championship in any company I have the opportunity to claim. Andrew Hawks is a very talented competitor. He's the current RCW Canadian Heavyweight Champion. And if I have another shot at Zach Mercury, I'll definitely take it. But it might be time to change my focus to bigger and better things.
Set your sights on the king, eh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a double-edged sword, you know. Careful what you wish for in that situation. But, I wish all the luck to you, man. Hawks is crazy skilled. Skilled.
I've been saying this for the last month or so that I think from a technical and a mechanical standpoint, Andrew Hawks might be the best wrestler in Alberta from just just purely from a mechanical standpoint, and you know, his the fact that I don't think there's anything he can't do in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing, and he knows how to tell stories really well too.
You know, he's not a high flyer in the ring, but I think that's because he chooses not to be a high flyer. I don't think that's because he couldn't do it, because I've seen the guy, do some pretty impressive, flashy, high flying things that would rival any of RCW's junior heavyweights.
100%. Yeah, he's. I know that I spoke with him, and he did tell me he used to be like a crazy high flyer.
Yep.
But that he's sort of adapted his game to a new style, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's no less hard hitting. That's for sure.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Anyway, I look forward to seeing you versus Hawks there. Give us just one more final social media plug for yourself, for Angelica, and for PPW.
Yeah, you can find me on absolutely all the social media platforms at Steel Star. It's STEELESTARR. You can find Angelica on all of them as well at Wrestle Angelica. Peter Power Wrestling is where it gets a little more complicated, but I'll give you the big two. You can find us on Instagram at Pure Power Wrestle and on Facebook at Pure Power Wrestling.
Awesome possum, bud. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. I know you're got a busy schedule with all the planning. Like, I mean, just seeing Squig do all his running around and stuff, yours has got to be just as hectic. So I appreciate you taking the time out to come on the show.
You know, I'm just happy to be here. I'll absolutely anytime you'd like to sit down and talk. And hey, maybe next time we can bury a whole bunch of people.
Is there anybody you want to bury right now?
I've had my fill for now.
Oh, okay.
I'll take this time to bury anybody who doesn't look like a pro wrestler or wrestle like a pro wrestler when they're in the ring. I'll leave it at that for now, and maybe next time we can bury some more people.
Okie dokie. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, bud.
Sounds good, my man.